But Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your presence in this place this morning. Father, we thank you for the breath that's in our lungs today. Lord, may we be ever mindful of your presence. May we be yielded to what you would say. May we hear what you're saying. May we speak what you have us speak. Go where you have us to go. Do what you have us to do, Father. Lord, I pray, Father, that we be consecrated, committed, dedicated, sold out, and surrendered completely unto you and your will. And so this morning, Lord, I'm just asking you, Holy Spirit, come. We know you're here, but I'm asking you, manifest your presence in this place today. Perform your will. As I speak this morning, Lord, I ask that the words that I say would not be my words, but they'd be yours. I ask that you'd anoint the ears of the hearers to hear. That you prepare our hearts. Lord, that each one of us would have room to receive what you're saying today. Not only in this service, but in every service we have today. And Father, even across this land, ministers are filling the pulpit. And Lord, I believe you're speaking to our nation. I believe that you're wanting to do something in America. And Father, I pray that those that know you and that hear your voice as they speak this morning, their words would be filled with your power. They'd be filled with your love. Father, that they would reach more people. And that we as a nation would hear your voice, a church in this nation, Lord. At least those of us who are called by your name, Father, that we would hear you this morning. That we'd obey and we'd see you move in our land. So once again, Lord, I just thank you for everything that takes place today. Lord, I'll be so careful to give you all of the honor, all of the praise, all of the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm excited about this morning. I'm encouraged. I know that God has something to say. He has some things that he's doing. This is a very unique time for us to be alive. And no matter what's going on in the world, I want to encourage you today, this is the best moment of your life. This is the absolute best time to be alive on planet Earth. God is moving and doing things that the enemy would try to make it look like there's nothing going on. The news media would try to make it look like our country's falling apart. But I'm telling you, God has an army that he is raising up, an army that he's putting in position, an army that is getting ready for this move of God. So something interesting happened this week. A few days ago, I received a text asking me if I had anything for this morning to do, this morning service. And I knew that I had plans to go to Texas, and we were going to leave this morning to go. So my immediate response was I picked up my phone, and I was about to say, Tim, I'm sorry, I won't be there. I'm going out of town. And immediately there was something on the inside that stopped me, that inward witness. And I thought of Gary's message last week. I said, he said, Jesus only says what he heard the Father say. It wrecked me. I was a little mad on the way home. You can ask my wife. I was arguing about, I wasn't sure what was happening, you know. Anyway, God was dealing with me about some things. Gary was really pushing us beyond the limits of where we've been. Well, really, the Holy Spirit is pushing us beyond the limits of where we've been. And sometimes we're going to have to unlearn the things that we learned. That's not exactly right. The places where we've learned to walk, we're going to have to find that we're learning there's a deeper place. Sometimes you get comfortable. You're like, well, I hear from God. I do what He asked me to do. I'm not a sinner. I'm walking close to Him. I'm doing everything I know to do. And we get comfortable there. And then someone challenges you and you can get defensive. If you're not careful, you can get defensive. You're like, well, what do you mean? Do everything that... Say only what you hear the Father say. Like I'm not doing that? You're probably not. I know I wasn't. I had to look at that and say, well, maybe there's things that I'm just saying just because I've always said them. Things I'm doing just because I've always done them. And maybe they're good things. It's not sinful for me to drive down to Texas and see my son. It's very normal. It's a godly thing. It's a family thing. There's nothing wrong with that. And wouldn't even really be sinful for me to say, no, I can't do that. I'm going down there. But there's a higher walk that God is calling us to. And even at that moment, I wasn't 100% sure. I just knew that something grabbed me and I was willing to say, okay, I'll wait. And the moment I did, now I've been preaching for a while. And most of the time, my style has been, you know, a bit off the cuff. It's just, I don't usually have notes. God oftentimes doesn't even give me anything ahead of time. I just have to trust Him and get up and do what He says to do. But I don't want to exaggerate. This may not be the only time, but one of the very few times I've ever had this happen, as soon as I set my phone down, I heard these words, preparing for revival. And I knew the title of my message this morning is preparing for revival. Usually I don't even have a title. But as far as I know, well, that's the title. I don't know exactly. And when I said that, I said, Lord, I don't even know if I know how to preach that. I'm not sure what you mean by that. But before I get into this, I want to give you a few references before I forget or get too far into it. And these are things that everyone here should be familiar with. But I just want to, it's just what's coming out in my spirit. And I just want to share it with you. And this may be very basic things, but for some reason, we need a reminder, a refresher. So here's a few references for what I'm going to be talking about today. One is on the website, daveroberson.org. This is a series that Dave did. It's called Distinguishing God's Voice. You can search it in the media search if you put in CD 210, it'll bring that series up, Distinguishing God's Voice. The other reference is from the Present Day Speaking. The number is PT200219. It's called Pouring Out the Peace of My Spirit. And the other reference is from Gary Carpenter's message on July the 5th, and that's Commit Again to the Blueprint. And that was this month. So before I go into preparing for revival, I want to share a couple things I believe the Lord wants to say to us just so that they don't get overlooked. I know that we have an idea of what we're looking for in revival. I know that we have the examples in the Word of God, the way that Jesus ministered, we can see that there's no record that I have ever found of one person coming to Jesus that wanted a physical healing that didn't get it. That's what we're looking for. In a nutshell, there's more, but in a nutshell, that's what we're looking for. The presence of God, all those things. But I want to caution you that revival may not look the way you want it to. Okay? Revival, you may not... I'm trying to be really nice here. But, you know, revival could show up and you could miss it if you have a particular thing in mind. I don't mean you're going to miss revival. Obviously, you're going to know that something's going on. But you can miss your place in it. You can miss what God has for you in this revival. Because He's not just trying to reach the lost and reach the sick and reach all of those. He's changing us and preparing us and bringing us to a place where we are revival. We are the ones producing the revival. And if you want to be a part of that, then we have to be willing to say that revival might not look like what I want it to. And obviously the preparation doesn't look like probably what any of us want it to. Because everybody, there's an old saying that says everyone wants to go to heaven, but no one wants to die. And that's kind of the situation. We all want to see revival, but we don't want to pay the price sometimes. And sometimes the price, we don't know what that price is. I realize we count the cost, but I believe we have to get to the point where it says it doesn't matter the cost anymore. The cost is now me. My life, my everything, my trip to Texas, my plans, my ideas. Those are little things. You know, there's going to be other things. What if it's your money, your home, your, you know, whatever it might be. We have to get to the place where we're willing to say none of it belongs to me. Because if we're not, then these words that are hanging here, and I said this before, and I'm not trying to be mean, but then it's just a decoration hanging on the wall. And if you came in here this morning and that's all that was to you, then there's some things God wants to do in you. There's some things that we have to, there's a place that you may be on the path, but we have a ways to go before we'll see this if it doesn't become a reality in our heart. A reality in our life. So be prepared to be uncomfortable. I know that we've already been uncomfortable for a long time. I remember when Gary was teaching almost every week on dying to flesh, but killing the flesh, dying to yourself. And, you know, there's not as many people here that were here when he started that. I'm just honestly, there's not as many people here that were here then. And it's okay. You know, Gideon, his army was whittled down and whittled down and whittled down. And these are some of the thoughts that have been going through my mind as I've been preparing. Some of the things going, the Lord is stirring in me. And one of those was Gideon's army. You know, we have to be a people. God's looking for an army that has no name, no recognition, no reputation, is willing to say, God, whatever you need me to do, I'll do it. And most everybody in church has said those words, but there's been few, including myself, who've been really, really willing and would say, absolutely, whatever you say to do, however you have me do it, I'll do it. And I'll be honest with you, in my own life, I've been tested several times, and I failed some of them. There's been things God told me to do that I didn't do. If you don't get anything else out of this today, this is something that I believe is very important. I believe God is trying to say this. This moment in time is very important to God. On, I believe it was June the 6th or somewhere in that, one of those dates when we first came back to church after we'd been in isolation for several months. And I was sitting in the back row, as I always do. And during worship, the Lord spoke to me. And when he did, I thought it was just for me. But as time has gone on, I really believe it is a word for the body. It's very simple. He said, in July, I'm calling you up to active duty. Well, my son's in the army. I know what active duty means. You know, he was a reservist, and I know there's a difference. You can be a reservist, and there's nothing, no shame in that. But, and sometimes it seems like there are seasons in God that we are reservists. It's like we're just here, you know. That's never really true, but it seems that way sometimes. That we're just here, you know. God's talking, all those things, but I'm not really doing anything. Or I don't feel like I'm doing anything. I'm just spending my time in prayer. Whatever. But then there's those moments when God says, okay, it's time for active duty. I didn't know what that meant. And there's a lot of things that happened. There's some changes that happened in my job. There's changes that happened in other places. And all of these things are possibilities I'm looking at saying, is this active duty? Is this active duty? Is this active duty? And then Gary got up Sunday morning, July the 5th, and he said, which is kind of a contrast, it's interesting. I usually don't have any notes. He came up, said he didn't have any notes that morning. God wanted to speak. I'm up here this morning with all kinds of notes, believing God wants to speak. And so, but when he got up there, he said, this is the first Sunday of the rest of 2020. And he encouraged us to recommit to the blueprint for 2020. If you don't know what that is, I guess that could have been a reference as well. It's on the website, daveroberson.org. Very, very easy to see. It's on the first page. It's on the media page. It'll say blueprint for 2020. You can hear those 10 prophecies that tell us about this year. So, as I was preparing, I came up here Friday night to pray, and it occurred to me. Gary had the first Sunday of July. I'm here on the last Sunday in July. The Lord said, in July, I'm calling you to active duty. There's some of us. Some of us, maybe not even in this room, some of us that will listen to this, there's some of us that are part of this message that have been in reserve. We haven't been active duty. And Gary said some things last week. He said, really, the Lord said it. He said, why are you resisting the blueprint for 2020? So I believe that, I don't understand it completely, but I believe it's like God just put a stamp on July of 2020. And we'll be able to look back and say, this is when he spoke to us. It's time, it's always been time, but it's time to be serious about what he's saying. It's time to get serious. The good news about that, I feel like I'm saying a lot of things that I've said before and that have been spoken here from the pulpit before. The good news about that is that we're under God's grace. He's continuing to encourage us. But the bad news is we haven't gotten it yet. And that may not even be bad news. It's just something that we need to understand. That if you think you got it, you didn't yet. We're still receiving. We're still getting to that place where he's called us to be. We're still preparing to be prepared for revival. Does that make sense? We're still getting prepared to see this happen. All right. So here we go. So I gave you the reference in the present day speaking, pouring out the peace of my spirit. I'm going to read this in just a minute. It's a little bit long, so it's probably going to be 10 minutes or so for me to read. I'm going to read the whole thing. Honestly, this is a word that came through me. It could have come from anyone. But for me, this word is what has gotten me through the isolation, the pandemic. I wasn't really in isolation because I'm a essential worker. When all of the stuff that's going on around us is screaming at us and all of the social media has all kinds of stuff on it. I don't know if you're on social media, but if you are, you notice there's just a craziness that's going on and on the news and everywhere else. And so there's so many things that if you're not focused, if you don't have a purpose and a understanding and know really, if you're not grounded, it'd be easy to be pulled one direction or the other. There's a lot of things to fight for, and some of them are good things. There's some very important issues at stake in our nation. And people like to stand up for what's right, and I think we should stand up for what's right. But when you have instructions from the Lord, you don't have to worry about any of those things. Amen? So I'm going to read this to you, and we'll see what happens. This is February 19th, 2020, pouring out the peace of my spirit. Do not fear the things. Okay, before I do that, this is February of 2020. The pandemic, really the way that we in this country and around the world, they declared it in March as a pandemic. When this was received, we knew about the coronavirus, but it wasn't really a focus of anything that was going on. So here's what this says. Do not fear the things that you see coming upon the earth. For the enemy is being stirred up in the realms of this world. You will see in the political arena, there is a stirring and a craziness that is taking place. And I say, do not fear or be alarmed but know that I am at work. For the enemy is running scared. The enemy is becoming confused, and he is bringing up tactics that many have not seen before. But there's nothing new under the sun. This was called the new coronavirus, the new virus. Anyway, there is nothing new, says the Lord, for I have equipped you, I have trained you, I have developed you to be whom I have called you to be. And if you will concentrate on me, do not be distracted by the things of this world, nor be dismayed because of what you see coming upon the earth. For in many realms, the enemy is stirring up trouble. But I say in the same way, I'm stirring up my people to rise up and to stand and to defeat the enemy in every land. You will see that I will come upon the earth, not only in this place, but around the world, and those who are known by me and those who call upon my name and those who stand in my name, they will see great and mighty things done by my hand. For as the enemy comes in like a flood, you will see a standard raised. And you will see those who call upon me will rise up in the power of my name. They will rise up with power and with might, and I will defeat the enemy, says the Lord, because I already have. And you will see once again that there will be a display, but this display will be a display of my glory, will be a display of my wealth. It will be a display of my power, and you are among those who are called to stand in my stead. And you will see that as the day approaches, even more so, press in and stand and be strong and do not be dismayed. Do not be afraid. Do not wonder and say, how can this be? Or wonder what might happen tomorrow. But know that I am with you. I am upholding you. I am strengthening you. And you must yield yourself unto me. For I have no voice in the earth except through my body. I have no authority in this earth except through my people. So yield your authority over to me. Yield yourselves and hear from me and walk in the strength and the power and the might of my spirit. And you will see that around you there shall be a shield. Around you there shall be a power. And although many will fall at your right hand, and many shall fall to the left, and although there will be a persecution upon even you yourselves, you will know who I am, and you will see my power in your land. And in the places that I send you to, you will see a demonstration of my spirit, because the enemy has come, and he shall display what he has. But he doesn't realize that all he has done is waken a giant that will destroy and defeat him. And many and great will be the harvest, says the Lord. Many will be shouting, to arms, to arms. And they will want to fight. They will want to go to war. But I say unto you, you already have received your orders from me. Do not be distracted by those who would say, let's fight this, or let's fight that, or let's stand in this place. But you stand where I've called you to stand. You do what I've called you to do. For the world would hear war, and they are ready to fight. And some of that has bled into my body, who are ready to stand up and to do things in their own might. But I say to you, when there is a war that is going on, realize that I have already won. And it is your opportunity to stand with me, to receive from me, and stand in a peace that passes all understanding. The place that I've called you to, when war is going on, you are at peace. You're almost relaxed because you're in me. Now, do not relax your fellowship. Do not relax your time with me. Do not relax the things that I have called you to do. Do not be distracted to go and fight a war that it's already been won. Come and be with me. Come and fellowship and sup from the peace, that fountain that is being poured out. Even now, I'm pouring myself out over this world. I'm pouring out myself. I'm pouring out the peace of my spirit, and those who will receive shall come and dine with me, and they will drink of a fountain that will never run dry. They will be filled with a peace that cannot be denied, and they will know that the fight has been won. They can rejoice in the sun and know that they have received from me all they need to walk in perfect victory. So come away, be called apart and stand with me, and let me show you how I have won. Let me show you the victory that I have given you through my Son. Come and fellowship with me. For at times when it seems that you need to be out doing and running and fighting and shouting, do not be distracted with that. For there will be a time when I will let you shout. There will be a time when I will let you run. There will be a time when you will be able to declare to everyone. But now is a time that I have called you away to be hidden, to be separate, to be at peace, and to allow me to equip, strengthen, and release my spirit within you. Do not be entangled with the things of this world. Do not allow the craziness and the chaos to interfere with the peace that I have within you, but allow it to exude from you, that those around you, around who are caught up in the things of the world, might see you and might want what you have. Realize I'm still reaching out to those who are caught up, even those in my body who have been distracted. So it is an opportunity to be a light. As you stand in me, put the enemy to flight. He does not know what to do when my people are at peace. He does not know what to do when my people stand in the place of authority. Because when you are with me, you are protected, you are kept, you are hidden. There is no room for fear. So receive my peace and enter into that deep, deep well. Do not stop until I have filled you up to a place that I have said, now is enough. Do not do it out of fear or compulsion, but understand it is a calling, it's an invitation to come with me and receive. So let this peace guide, direct you, bring you into a deeper place with me. And you will see the places that we will go, the things that we will do, that which will be accomplished, will be done in such a way that the world will stand and wonder, and you will receive the grace and a greater quality of life than could ever have been had any other way. Amen. Amen. So when I am tempted, I look at Facebook and I see this or that going on, or I see a good friend that's really offended with something that's happened, and I want to reach out and say that was wrong, or this was that, or that was that. I'm reminded, do not be distracted. Now, he said it twice in there, and he probably could have said it 10 times, because I'm not 100% there. There's times when I've been distracted. There's times when I've gotten involved, but I get pulled back by the word of the Lord that says, I already knew this was going to happen. I already knew there was going to be a craziness over the earth. I mean, you could say that in almost any time, but right now, it's crazy. We've seen a lot of different things, but I talk to people every single day. I'm in people's homes every day, from young to old, and there's not one person. There's probably not a day goes by that somebody doesn't say, you know, I've never seen it like this before. Never seen the whatever it might be, you fill in the blank like this before. And I know that we already know that we're on the cusp of revival because the Lord said so. Alan Taylor put up a video on Facebook of Pastor Dave, and I don't know what the year was, but it was a long time ago. He was in Brazil, and he gave a prophecy, and he said, the devil is in his workshop coming up with diseases that they won't be able to find a cure for it fast enough. And they'll be looking at you And he said, it's on this platform that I will bring revival. We have the prophecies from Dave Wilkerson. We have prophecies from men of God from old of these days and a last end time outpouring following them. One thing that I know that is very difficult for me, and I believe it's when I hear others, I believe it's a difficult thing when you're looking at the things of the Spirit and you're hearing the words of the Lord, you're looking at prophecy, it's oftentimes difficult to get the timing right. And the reason is, I believe when God says it, it's happening. So when God tells me, I've called you to Africa, I'm ready to go to Africa, because that's the way that it comes to the person that's receiving it. They're receiving it right now. But sometimes God's showing us something that's 20 years from now. Sometimes it's 100 years from now. But I'm telling you, he's reining that in. And he's saying, I'm speaking to my people, this generation, at this time, at this moment. It's gone from years and decades and centuries, backwards from there, centuries, decades, years, months, weeks, to moments. Where I believe that God is telling us. This was in February. In March, we saw these things come to pass. The Lord spoke to me in June about July. And I see that God is just bringing it more narrow, more narrow, more narrow, more narrow. Because we're on the cusp of what God is wanting to do. And it's so important at this moment that we come in and that we focus on the word of the Lord and not on what's going on around us. Because I'm going to tell you, it's very possible it could get worse out there, but it's going to get better in here. It could get worse. I'm not prophesying that. I'm just saying it's very possible it could get worse in the world, but it gets better for those who are called by his name, those who understand what God has said, those who can look at this and say, Jesus is Lord over Tulsa, and it's more than just a banner, but it's something that lives on the inside of you. Because if you've been here for a year, and that's not more than a decoration, you need to catch up. Because you need to come to Calling in the Lost on Sunday night. And you need to be here when God is speaking, or be listening, but when God is speaking. I don't say these things. God is being very serious about what he wants from us in this generation, in this moment, what he wants from us. I don't think there's going to be one person that will pass away before God does what he says he's going to do. Anyone in this room, before we see the outpouring that he has promised us over and over and over again, all I'm saying is it might not be what you think it's going to be. It may not look like you think it's going to look. And so our preparation no longer can be in the natural as far as looking for how we can house some of the things that God wants to do. But we need to look in the spirit and say, how do I house him here? How do I house the move of God within me? How do I make room in my life for God to come in and do what he wants to do? How do I put that banner into my heart where it means something and I live it and walk it and breathe it every single day? Because if you've been coming to Calling in the Lost, you know what the confessions are. But if all it is words on a piece of paper, then we haven't gotten to where God wants us to be. And we have to be to the place where I know there's a balance. Because we know today we aren't there in the natural. But unless we believe that we're there in the spirit, then we're never going to be there. Faith is now. And either Tulsa is in revival or it's not. You notice it doesn't say Tulsa is going to be in revival. We say Tulsa is in revival because it's something that we have to live on a daily basis. It's not something that we can continue to look into the future and hope for. It has to be something that we expect every day of our life. I'm not telling you to run up to every person in a wheelchair and drag them around and try to get them to walk. I'm saying that there ought to be a picture on the inside of you that when the sick show up, they're healed. When the lame are there, they're walking. All right. I got to calm down a little bit. Because I want to make sure I get all this out here. So, in preparing for revival, we must take the word seriously. I know it's very elementary, but it's important. The written word, I'm going to give you a couple of references. These are just references. You don't have to turn there. And they're just verses. I'm not taking them out of context. I'm just laying a principle. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is within, all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." James 1:28 says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." So that's the written word. We've got to put a place in our heart. If you haven't meditated the word, or you don't know how to meditate the word, there's a series on DaveRoberson.org called, I believe it's just called Meditating the Word of God. I believe that's right, but anyway, you'll see it there. It'll make sense. You can probably look up the word meditate. It'll pop up. I would highly encourage you, listen to that. Spend time in the word, letting it become a part of you. There's a difference between hearing, speaking, meditating, and doing. There's a difference. You know, it did say, and Joshua says that the law didn't depart from his mouth. Then it also says that you should meditate on it day and night and observe to do according to it. So there's speaking the word, there's meditating on the word, and there's doing the word. And all of them have got to be a part of what we do with the written word of God. The spoken word, we have the blueprint for 2020, complete the purging process, draw near to God, fast, pray. Something else that when it comes to the spoken word of God, the present day speaking, the prophecies that come forth, whether it be a personal prophecy to you personally or it be to the church as a body, something God has been dealing with me about is, he said, we should be humbled by the word of the Lord. And he gave me a couple examples, and one was Peter. Peter, Jesus gave him a word and he said, "Peter, you'll deny me three times before the cock crows." I don't know if it would have changed anything, but Peter was not humbled by that word. He bowed up in pride and said, "Not me. Not me, God. It won't happen." And as I've seen some prophecies that were, I'll use the word negative, it's not, they were things that we wouldn't want to see happen. As I see them come to pass, I can look back and say, that didn't have to happen. I can remember a couple specific incidences here at the prayer center. One time, Dave said, "Draw your families in." And I know several individuals that their family didn't make it through that time. They didn't stay married. One time, Dave prophesied to an individual and he said, "I see death." It was powerful. He knew that this was serious. His mother died. Didn't have to happen. And this is what I believe. Gary mentioned this man. There's a pastor that had some dreams, and it's been circulating around on YouTube about the future. I don't know whether they're true, they're not true. I don't really care. But here's the thing. I believe that those types of things don't have to happen. God gives people dreams, visions, words for a reason. And if we will do what he's calling us to do, and we don't get distracted by those things that are happening, we can walk through it if we have to, or possibly even stop it if he allows us to. The words that come to my mind was Dave Roberson would preach about building your house upon the rock, digging deep into doing his sayings. People don't understand what it means that to build it on the rock. It's not just the word of God, but it's finding in there those bedrock, solid words that God has said and doing the sayings that Jesus gave us. Not just reading the word, but doing what he said. And when we build our house on that rock, Dave would say, the storm is beating vehemently upon the house. And you're inside sitting on the couch with your feet up in front of the fireplace. Because you know that house is not going anywhere. This house has been built upon the rock. And I believe that we're coming into a time that every person that has been a part of this message has been prepared for. We're not only coming into a time, we've started entering into this time. We've been prepared for this. And so I know that people can, you may have fear come upon you. I realize that. There can be some scary things. There's some things that are happening right now that can be concerning to many. But I want to encourage you today. You have been prepared for this moment. God has prepared you. And it's a time that if we're willing to not be distracted, we'll focus upon the words that we've received in the past and the words that God is speaking now, that we're going to be able to not only survive through this time, but it could be the most prosperous time of our lives. I'm not talking about money, although it includes money. I'm saying this will be the most prosperous moments of the Spirit, where God is able to do things that we've never seen him do before. Think of all the things that Dave has talked about that only the anointing could do. I believe that we're walking into that, where people on the edge of suicide, sometimes there's nothing that can stop them, but there's an anointing that will. There's an anointing that'll break that off of them. Sometimes there's people that are bound in all kinds of addictions or sins or whatever you might want to call them. Everybody's tried to help them, but there's an anointing that'll break that yoke, destroy it, where it won't be able to have any right in their life anymore. And some people, it's the only thing that at the very end of all that this world has to offer them. And we are entering into a time where we can be the end result for them. Dave used to say you can go around looking at end results, go from meeting to meeting, or you can go ahead and become the end result, the one that has the answer. You can be on this side of the line receiving prayer, or you can be the one on the other side that's dishing it out. And there's nothing wrong with going up for prayer. I'm just saying that we're coming into a time where God is calling us to the other side of the line. He's calling us as a body, as a unit, as an army. And you know, when we take these things seriously, when I say take it seriously, I mean more than just believing that it's true, but making room in our heart for it. Making room in our life for the words that God has spoken so that they become a part of us and they're not taken away. Like I said, the other example of Peter is when Peter received the revelation from the Lord that Jesus said, who do people say that I am? And he says, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God, the Christ. And Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but it's been revealed to you by my Father. But just a few verses later, he's turning around. And when Jesus is telling him how he's going to die, he says, no, you know, this can't be. And Jesus had to say, get behind me, Satan. And see, if the word doesn't have a place in your life, if it doesn't become a revelation in your spirit and you're not able to carry it and walk with it and it doesn't lead, guide, and direct you, then you can easily be distracted by the things of this world and by the things of the natural. So he's calling us to take the word seriously. Number two is to walk in the Spirit. I'm trying to wrap this up. Like I said, Gary said, why are you resisting the blueprint for 2020? I believe it was the Lord speaking, saying, why are you resisting the blueprint for 2020? It's time to walk in the Spirit. Only speak what my Father speaks. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I don't know what it's like for you in your walk with God, how He bears witness with you. I know it's oftentimes been described as a red light or a green light, and that's okay. That's pretty good. Sometimes for me, if you have siblings, you probably understand this. For me, it's almost like you're standing at the edge of a pool or a cliff, and somebody comes up and they push you, but they don't quite let you go over the edge. You know, my brother used to do that to me. I'd be, you know, like he's going to push you into the pool, but it holds you back. Sometimes that's that inward witness in me. It's like the Lord saying, it's almost like He's saying, just go. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, what do you mean, go? And so, but we have to recognize those things. In order to obey the Lord, we have to hear what He's saying. He's called us to obedience. And I don't really want to say this, but one of the other things that I've been hearing these last few months since we've been back to church, and more than once, I wish I only heard it once, I would just hear, when are you going to obey me? First time, I was like, well, I guess right now. You know, I'm not sure what that means, you know. And then I'd hear it again and again, and I finally said, okay, Lord, you know what? It's obviously I'm not getting something. So what do you want me to do? And I got to my laptop and I brought up every word the Lord had ever said to me that I could find. And I'm reading through those things, and some of them I'd done, some of them I hadn't done. And I'm like, is this what you want? And there's not, you know. And it wasn't that. It was just what He was talking about is this right here. To walk in the Spirit. Walk like, say it this way, it's like the Lord was saying, when are you going to behave like you know me? When are you going to walk like you know me? When are you going to act like you know me? When are your decisions going to be my decisions? When are the things that you do going to be what I do? When do I get to decide how you run your life? And see, I thought that I was there. I was like, what are you talking about, God? I mean, do you want me to quit my job? I'm working. No. He said, I'm not saying that. What I want is the decisions that you make. I want you to be willing. You know, the Bible, really, God is so kind. He doesn't just, like, He doesn't make us just do all these things that He wants. He wants us to be willing to invite Him into our life so that when you get up in the morning, you don't have to ask Him what color shoes you should put on or what color whatever, but be willing for Him to say, I want you to wear these pants today. He's probably not going to say that, but He could. You don't know. I'll give you an example. One time, I got up, got ready for church, and I had a shirt on, and I don't know why, but I went and I changed my shirt. And that morning, the minister that was ministering, he says, you right there in the blue shirt. He goes, I've got a word for you. I mean, he could have did that if I had the white shirt on, but the Lord was just saying, you heard me, you know? And so God will encourage you. And I want to, this may seem like really baby stuff, and in a way it is, but I want us to get to that place where we're listening for God in everything we do. And there may still be some people that you don't know how to hear God's voice. I would encourage you. This is what I did. Open your Bible. God, where would you have me read today? And if you miss it, it's okay. You're still reading something that's going to encourage you. And over time, one day you're going to open the Bible, you're going to read something, you're like, oh my gosh. He's saying that to me. Now, and He could do it other ways, but I'm just saying this is one way that you can begin to ask God to speak to you. And He is looking for ways to speak to you. God is talking all the time. And the problem, if you've never heard the Lord say something that you didn't like, you either aren't listening or you haven't heard all that he had to say. I'm just being honest. If he's never said anything to you that hasn't challenged you, that hasn't put you in a place where you said, I can't do that, or you know, made you uncomfortable, then you either are not hearing the Lord or you're not listening. And I think most of the time it's the second part, but that's besides the point. So, as we prepare for revival, number one, take the word seriously, both the written and the spoken word. Number two, walk in the Spirit, allowing that inner witness to be your guide. And then I'm going to close with a scripture. We're going to go to Acts chapter 2. Verse 1, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?" And it goes on to say the languages and the places they were from. And all of them heard them speaking in their own language. And we've learned through the messages that Gary has given us about this day that, you know, probably the Sunday school pictures that I saw were not all that accurate, where they were sitting around a table and there was a little like Bic lighter flame up above each one of their heads. That's probably not what was happening. And honestly, it's quite obvious that it says that it was noised abroad and they came and gathered. So there was something going on. This wasn't just a little thing. But what I want to focus on today, something very familiar that I know we're all aware of, but it says when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, in verse 4, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. As we prepare for revival, as we walk in the Spirit, one of the reasons, in my opinion, that Dave Roberson has focused so heavily on speaking in other tongues, on praying in other tongues, this one act is the one thing that we do as the Spirit gives us utterance. We're learning. It's one thing that we must rely 100% upon the Holy Ghost. I don't know the next syllable that's going to come out. Now, I've been doing it a long time. Most of you probably have too. You don't really think about it. It just comes out. You're just praying in other tongues. Just one syllable after another. But the truth is, you're relying upon Him for every syllable. And that is the place He's calling us to. That we rely upon Him for everything we do. Every syllable is His. Not one word that they spoke that day, that they heard Him speaking in their own language, not one word came from a man's thought. None of them. It came from His body. It was His vocal cords. It was His voice. But 100% came from the Holy Ghost. And you know, it's no less true today. When you come here on Wednesday night and you're walking the floors, I walk, some people sit, whatever, you're praying, you're allowing those tongues to come out of you. Every syllable is coming from the Holy Ghost. when you're at home, wherever you might be. I'm not putting condemnation on you. I'm not telling you you need to be here. I'm telling you somewhere you need to be relying on the Holy Ghost. This is a great place to come because thank God for the vision of Pastor Dave Roberson. Thank God for the angels that I don't care if you believe they're here or not. I know that they're here building a place of prayer. It's like it sucks it out of you. It's like going to the library to study. You come here to pray. It's just a place that's created for that. It's a place that is safe. It's a place where you're not distracted. And I would encourage you, highly encourage you, when you can, come and pray. Come and rely on the Holy Ghost. Because the more you do that in prayer, the more you'll do that in real life. See, the more that I've learned to rely on the Holy Spirit, the more that I've spent time praying in other tongues, the easier it is for Him to get my attention and say, no, you don't need to do that. Sometimes He'll tell you immediately what it is you need to do. Sometimes you just have that witness that, no, that's not it. And we find that in Paul's ministry. You know, well, no, the Holy Spirit forbade me to go there. But He may not know why. And He has another direction. But, you know, He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He'll take you by the hand. Some people are afraid that they're going to miss what the Lord is saying. They're going to make a mistake. I had a good friend told me one time, he says, don't ever be... He said, I'm going to take the pressure off of you, okay? You're going to make mistakes. There you go. He's like, don't be afraid to make a mistake because you're going to. He says, you don't ever have to worry about that. But the truth is, God's way bigger than any mistake we can make. You know, obviously there's some big, major things in life that, yes, we're going to have to seek Him on and not just, you don't want to jump off a bridge for no reason. But, you don't want to jump off a bridge anyway, but you don't want to make a huge life change for no reason or for the wrong reason. But in the little things, God is not, He's not wringing His hands. He's not worried that you're behind. He's not worried that you're going to miss what He has to say. He can make Himself clear, and it doesn't offend Him if you ask Him, what did you say, Lord? Could you remind me of that? Could you help me with this? Or it doesn't offend Him to say, God, I can't do that. I'm going to need some help. Allow the Word of God to humble you instead of causing you to bow up and say, it must not be God because I can't do it. No. You say, well, Lord, if that's You, I'm going to need help. Because I know me. I know my limitations. And He'll help us. Walk after the Spirit. So take the Word seriously, walk in the Spirit, and don't be distracted by worldliness. When I say worldliness, I'm not talking about drinking, smoking, and chewing. I'm talking about the things that are going on in the world around us. I'll say one last thing, and I know I'm past time. Remember, this is a moment that God is stamping, a moment that He is drawing our attention to, and a moment that He's calling us to listen and obey, walk in the Spirit. Amen.